Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And I just love the people we have as guests. There's such interesting and rich backgrounds that often lay the groundwork for incredible novels. And today, I'm lucky to have such a gentleman right here, right now. He is Randall Renaud. Randall is the author of 6 novels, including Diamond Fields, a Royal Dragonfly Book Awards Grand Prize winner, and Deadly Load, a Richard Bowes Memorial Award winner. He also is a 2-time winner of the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award and a former international geologist and a Vietnam veteran. He lives with his wife, Lynn, in Austin, Texas. And he's here today to share his work. So welcome to the show, Randall.
Thanks, Pat. Good to be here.
It's very good to have you here. I was looking forward to this today. Well, you have 2 thriller book series. One is the Trace Brandon series, where the protagonist is a geologist, which I'm assuming is based on your life experiences as an international geologist. And you also have the Hardin Stainless Steel series. Let's start with Trace Brandon. Tell us about that series.
Yes, Trace is roughly based on 35 years I spent working in Africa, South America, Mexico, and it involved a lot of small-cap, publicly traded mining companies, so I had the opportunity to meet some interesting characters that I incorporate into the books. I had to change the names a bit to protect some of these guys, not from being so much innocent as guilty.
I'm sure.
But it gave me a lot of fodder for the books, and they're based, you know, loosely on my experiences and have been really fun for me to write.
How many books in that Trace Brandon series?
I just published the 5th one about 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah, we've got Diamond Load, Ruby Silver, Diamond Fields that you mentioned, Legend of War Creek, and then the last one, the Medinandi License, which is based on 2 years I spent in Mali in West Africa, exploring for gold and all the problems and things we had over there. It was a little bit pre-Al-Qaeda, but the Tuaregs were on the warpath, as were the local bandits. And
wow.
So it was an interesting time, and I think it's turned into a pretty good book.
And what's the title of that?
The Medinandi.
Okay.
Medinandi, which happens to be the name of a village on the Falame River, which is the border between Mali and Senegal.
Okay.
I had a base camp there, and so I used that name in the book.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, I look forward to that. Yeah, so then you've got the Hardin Stainless Steel series.
Hardin is a little bit different character. He's not a geologist. He's ex-DEA. He has a bit of a drinking problem, a couple of failed marriages. My analogy is think Jesse Stone does Brownsville, Texas.
Oh, my.
Okay. If you've seen it, you know, Tom Selleck and...
Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit of Hardin Steel. And I actually worked one time with a guy whose last name was, or first name was Steel. Steel Maloney, and everybody called him Stainless. And I wrote that down. I just love that name, so... When I did Hardin Steel, I nicknamed him Stainless. And it's probably been my bestseller. It certainly has probably 3 times the reviews of any of my other books. And it was kind of, you know, it was a step out for me, and I enjoyed it. It was tougher because I didn't have all the experience, you know, in Africa and different places to fall back on. So I had to make this one up as I went along, and it's a lot of work, but I enjoyed it.
Was there a lot of research involved then?
Yes, yeah. There was. I did a lot of research on the structure of law enforcement in South Texas. It's set in Cameron County, which is the southernmost county in Texas, also where Brownsville and South Padre Island are located. And of course, it's a huge drug problem now along the Texas border, so it's pretty timely. You know, we have a drug cartel... smuggling across the borders, and I like to do international thrillers, so I took the characters out of Brownsville, down to Mazatlan, and I had spent some time in the Caymans during my working years, so I ran them into the Caymans, and then I thought, what the heck, you know, it's very close to Cuba. So we did a few scenes in Cuba, and wouldn't you know it, after I wrote it, Obama opens up relations with Cuba, mm-hmm. and I had a couple of guys call me, wanted, you know, let's do a tour down in Cuba. And I said, I better read what I wrote about Fidel and Raul. I might not get up to Cuba if I get down there. So, I wasn't too tough on him, but, you know, I had to hit him a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, my. Now, how many books in that series?
I've done one, and I'm started on the sequel called The Paloma Crossing.
Right.
Paloma is Spanish for dove, and there's a crossing down there. It's an old smuggler's crossing. But I got sidetracked a little bit. I wanted to do a screenplay on South of Good mm-hmm. and enter it in the Austin Film Festival, which is coming up, the deadline is coming up next week. So I've just been burning the midnight oil trying to get the screenplay done. I mean, I had to learn the format from scratch, and my editor is shaking her head. She's never done a screenplay, so edited one. So we're scrambling around here, but I tell you, I like the format, and if it sells or options, I may go back in the future and adapt all of the books, both series, into screenplays. I love the format. You get to cherry pick the best action, the best parts of each book, and you know you're talking about 110, 120 pages maximum. So it's for me, it's an easy gig.
But it's a rework of, it's a total rework, right?
It is a total rework, yeah. And that's another reason I wanted to do it, because I hadn't written a Hardened Steel book in a couple of years, and I needed to get out of the Trace Brannon character mm-hmm. and back into Hardened Steel mm-hmm. and all of his, you know, running buddies.
Right.
So the best, a great way to do that was to go back through the book and adapt it to a screenplay. Now I'm totally up to speed. I'm living and breathing Hardened Steel now instead of Trace Brannon, so... I'm going to get back after next week. I'm going to get back on the sequel. I've got a couple of chapters done. I've got the outline done. I've got the book cover. It's actually on, the cover's actually on the website, so I got to crank it up and get it out there.
Can't just have a cover with no insides.
Yeah, my readers all went to the Evelyn Wood reading school, and they're not what you'd call patient. It's like, okay, I read it last night. When's the next one?
Yeah, what have you been doing there? Wasting time, right?
Yeah.
So you've entered that into the Austin Film Festival
on Friday,
and then how long do you have to wait to hear back?
You know, I don't know how long it'll take.
Okay.
Typically, those things, you know, I'll have to look and see when the actual festival
okay.
is. Typically, the judging is 3 or 4 months ahead of time, so it'd be nice just to snag anything, honorable mention
yep.
or anything would really help.
Yep. Well, keep us posted, Randall.
Oh, I will. Don't worry if it gets picked. It'll be all over the social media.
Good. I look forward to that. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, thanks.
For sure. Now, out of all of these books, do you have a favorite?
Probably South of Good, because it was such a step out to do. I didn't have the background. I mean, I did spend a lot of time in South Texas and in northern Mexico doing geology things, and I saw firsthand a lot of the drug deals, you know, drug people, and it was a big problem for us. So I had that background, and I knew a few sheriffs, you know, arm's length kind of, you know, historical. South Texas sheriffs are, you know, larger than life generally.
Yep.
So I had that to work on, and friends in the valley, South Texas, and acquaintances in Mexico. So I sort of built it from there. And like I said, it's been well received. You know, my other books... all geologic exploration, public company, offshore stuff based. And they're kind of like a Wilbur Smith book, The Author Out of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of a mining engineer, geologist, and all his books are sort of like that. And I try, without being preachy, to teach the readers, you know, expose them to a little bit of geology, a little bit about how these penny stock companies really work, you know, how hedge funds and offshore traders in the Caymans and some of these places operate. But it's a smaller market, whereas the Hardened Steel, you know, it's your basic thriller with a lot of international intrigue, and it's a bigger market.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. I was thinking about the Trace Brandon series and was thinking it would probably be a more narrow market for folks that were interested in geology and that type of thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of mining engineers, geologists, traders, stockbrokers that are readers, and even some people in different areas overseas, like in Australia and Amsterdam, mining centers, diamond centers.
Excellent.
That have picked it up, but hardened steel has a much broader audience. Hence the upcoming sequel.
Right. Well, good. You're hot right now, right? You are. Well, let's talk about your writing process for a bit. Do you write an outline ahead of time? Maybe share a little bit of your organizational process for other folks who are currently writing and want to kind of dig into your head.
You know, I had so much information, I started out without an outline, but I soon learned that's a huge mistake. So I do an outline first, and it's fairly generic. You know, number one, number two, three, and then ABCs underneath. A two-page outline will get me through a 300-page book. And then I keep a very detailed character list. Every time I bring a new character into the book, he goes into the computer sheet, you know, everything about him. Because I found otherwise I was always going back trying to, geez, was the guy 6'3 or 6'4? You know, you got to have continuity.
Yep.
Left-handed, right-handed, blue eyes, or whatever. So now it's an outline. I get the character list going, and then I write like 3 or 4 hours a day, generally in the afternoon. After about 4 hours, I start making too many typos. Mm-hmm. It's just too hard to sit here that long and hit the keys. And when you're in character, it's hard to get up and walk around and do something and take a break.
Yes.
When I'm in it, I don't like to leave because I lose that train of thought and I might not get it back.
That's a very fragile time, I would imagine, when you're in character. And if somebody comes and interrupts you or the phone rings and then you can't get back to it.
No, I work in my office here in my house. I close the door, bring one of my dogs in.
No, I get it.
Plug all the phones, and because you do, you get into character, especially Trace Brandon. I mean, when I'm writing Trace Brandon, because I was a geologist, so much of it's based on what I did, I mean, that's me.
Yeah.
So I have to be really, really careful, and I really get into it.
No, I understand that, and I'm glad you shared what your writing day looks like. So what does a typical day look like?
I generally do is I get up in the morning, get in. Sometimes I come in early, sometimes I don't. But the first thing is check all the emails and marketing. I do a lot of marketing in the morning. Mm-hmm. When I say marketing, I mean, you know, social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, my website, emails, and kind of get a flavor for what's going on. And then I look at what ads we've got running and what ads are coming up and see what I might want to do to add to that. I like to stack ads where I have two or three or four coming at once. And then I do a lot of giveaways on Goodreads, and which have been very effective because I usually, you know, you can pick your countries. So because I have some readers in Australia and the UK, Canada, and some other places, I allow people from those countries to participate in the giveaway. And that's been a great selling tool for us. And then I just did one the other day. I've never done one before on Amazon. They posted it may not have been available. They posted a deal on my page, and it said, would you like to do an Amazon giveaway? Well, I thought, you know, Amazon owns Goodreads, so is this one in the same or something else? But it's different. They, you tell them how many books you want to give away. They run the contest, and you tell them what kind of frequency you want, like every 10th entry wins a book, up to a certain amount of books. So I put 15 books up. I said, look, every 10th person that comes in, they get a free paperback.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours, it was gone.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I had all these postings on my Facebook and emails. We were too late.
Oh, my.
Going well. Sorry.
That's excellent.
So that was pretty good. And part of the deal was you can put certain criteria on there, and one of the criteria was that they would follow us on Amazon or Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up some additional readers that way, and of course the thought being that they get the book, they like it, they tell their friends, and away you go. So those kind of promotions have really been great. LinkedIn has been wonderful because I've been able to get overseas with my books that there's just no way I could have got over there without them.
Yeah.
And so that's gotten me some readers in Spain, Amsterdam, like I said, the UK, Ireland. It's been great. I use my Twitter deal, but there are a lot of Twitter sites out there that are very reasonable, where you can, you know, post, hey, my new book's coming out tomorrow, and they'll tweet it to 60,000 people, you know, 10 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I can retweet those and favorite tweet, whatever they call it.
Right.
And so the social media is just, it's been a blessing. And then I do a few book signings. I try and do more book festivals, because I've found at book signings, 2 people might show up or 100 people might show up. But if I go to the Amelia Island Book Festival, if I get the invitation, there might be 10,000 people come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I sell a lot more books and make a lot more contacts. And even people that don't buy a book there will take a bookmark and go home and buy the e-book.
Interesting.
So it's the book festival's been great. The book signings, they're fun, but they're not as productive,
mm-hmm.
at least for me.
This is interesting, because so many authors, they know how to write, and that's what they do, and the whole marketing side and that whole marketing piece just gets left behind. So it's fortunate for you that you've learned how, or that you're interested to do the kind of marketing that's required to get your books out there.
I'll tell you what, my marketing, because I used to be, these little companies I worked with, oftentimes I was the chairman or the CEO, and I was doing dog and pony shows on the road all the time, promoting our properties, promoting our stock, because we were publicly traded.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to market. And if you can't market, you haven't got a prayer in this deal. Even if you've got one of the big houses behind you, they're still going to expect you to get out there and market. It's a good 50% of it. You got to write a good book, but you got to get out there and really market it.
Well, I'm glad you're saying this. I'm glad our listeners are going to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. Marketing is the key.
Yep. As it is with everything, really.
It is.
Well, now, how long does it take, in general, to write one of your books?
You know, a lot of it's based on research, but say a typical Trace Brandon book, because I do a lot of rewrites, 9 months to a year. Well, here's a good example. I started writing in January 2011. I retired in 2010, and I've got 6 books out. So that's 5 years with 6 books.
Okay.
So I doubled up in a couple of years. But when I do the Hard and Steel books, there's a lot more research. And even in the Trace Brandon, like this one I just did in Africa, Mali is a French-speaking country, and I put there's a lot of French language translations, French law, French customs. It's also a Muslim country,
mm-hmm.
so you've got to understand about the, you know, who the people are that call people to prayer, how often they do it, you know, what their military is like. I mean, it's a lot of research when you get out of your comfort zone. So if I have to do a lot of research, I think this one took me almost a year to the day.
Now, do you ever find that you've got a writer's block where you just, there's times where he's like, there's nothing here, I can't do this? And if so, how do you get beyond that?
You know, I've been lucky. I have never had that. And I tell you, the key for me is just start writing.
Yes.
Just, you know, it may not be what you want in the book right then. Just get on a roll. Once you get going, things will start coming to you, and knock on wood, I just haven't experienced that problem, but I'm writing from past experiences, you know, I mean, I had 35 years in the field and in the boardroom, so until those things run out, I should be okay.
No, I think it makes a difference if you're trying to create something out of thin air versus having that experience to pull from.
You know, that's my second thing to your listeners. If you want to write a book, get some experience. Get out there and live life.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to write about things that you've experienced than try and make it all up. And plus, you'll know a lot more about it. I mean, there's ins and outs to everything. And those are the fun things that the people like, the readers like.
Right. They always say write about what you know.
Yeah, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely true.
I get it.
There's something else I like to do, I not only have the protagonist, but I usually have a lot of subplots, but I usually have a couple of sub-characters that I bring into the character, into the story at different levels. And it's amazing. I've had a lot of readers email me and go, you know that Will Coffey, the crazy lawyer that's Trace's buddy? Man, I like that guy. So, you know, and I got that from James Lee Burke, you know, a multi-award winning, you know, New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. He has Dave Robichaux, a, you know, burned out, semi-alcoholic detective, and his buddy, Cleet Purcell. Cleet's in trouble all the time. And it features John Goodman as Cleet Purcell. That's how I picture him. And I wanted a buddy for Trace like that. And so I built Will Coffey, you know, generally like that. He's an attorney. He's not, but he's always in trouble, whether it's divorces or whatever. And the readers really took to him. So now Will's got to be in there all the time.
So Will travels from book to book.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he does. And I'll tell you, I had a female character that Trace, the protagonist, got engaged to. And I decided to kill her off in a book because I knew there was another love interest coming in Africa. Holy cow, did I catch it for that.
Really?
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, you should. Oh, man, not death letters, but why did you kill her off? We can't get rid of Dominic. I said, hey, I knew something else was coming.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I said, did it catch you by surprise? Were you shocked? And I went, yeah. I said, well, I did my job.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do.
You don't want to be predictable, do you?
No, I don't want to be predictable, but I didn't expect the backlash.
Hey, at least people are paying attention.
Yeah, they are. I'm not killing off this new love interest, I can promise you. You're going to be around for a lot of books.
I like that. So, some more writer advice. What do you see, then, as the biggest challenge that a writer faces?
Oh, it's getting your book out there and doing the marketing. Okay. That's the biggest challenge.
All right, we covered that, huh?
And editing. I'm on my fourth editor. It has been my biggest problem. The first couple of books I used some editors through Amazon. They were fine, but there's no one-on-one. Everything is email. Very hard to call them up and say, you know, what about this phrase or this deal? And they did okay. And then I hired a real expensive editor that had 20 years with a major newspaper. But she had some personal problems and ended up going off to a foreign country and left me in a heck of a shape. And now I finally got a gal, Emily Carmain, out of Mille Island, Florida, where my oldest daughter happens to live and is a recovering attorney. So she checked her out pretty good. And Emily's been great. But I had her do, on the Medinanny license, I had her do three separate edits. She did the first edit, said, I think I got it. And I said, yeah, well, edit it again. Okay, I found a few things. And then I ordered a bound proof, and I said, look, I've got about 30 days here where I'm waiting on something else. I want you to read the bound proof. She said, oh, I just don't think there'll be anything. I don't think it's worth it. I said, yeah, right, read it. And sure enough, we found a couple more things. I just, you know, unless you've got Penguin or somebody behind you with 15 editors, then it goes round and round in a circle. And you've got a copy editor and a proofreader. You have, you know, you just got to get the best editors you can find. I can't emphasize that too much. I guess you want the main thing. That would be
mm-hmm.
it.
And I agree with you. There's nothing worse than having a good story and great characters and good plot, and you're really into it and got grammatical errors or spelling errors, and it hurts.
It just kills you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reader's reading along. He's into the story, into the theme, and all of a sudden it says the pilot turns and looks over his shoulder, but it's spelled tuned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, oh, my God.
No.
And, you know, I see it in the major, in the big boys. Every once in a while I'll catch an error in a, you know, in a major writer, but you just got to do all you can to get rid of them. I mean, the readers will cut you a little bit of slack, but that, let me tell you, besides marketing, I put editing on the top, and I'm going even more for the editing. I just can't get enough. You know, you got to, at some point, you spend your whole life trying to kick one book out.
Right.
But best editing you can afford.
Absolutely, because as the writer, you're so close to it, you can read the same thing over and over again and not see something that's glaring because you know what it's supposed to say. So.
Oh, that's exactly right. The problem is, I've read it 12 times. I have it memorized.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading it as my brain thinks I wrote it.
Exactly.
I don't even see the page because I got it memorized. You just can't do it.
Absolutely.
You've got to get it. I see these guys all the time. They do a book and they call me. They go, man, we went through it. My wife went through it. It's perfect. I'm going, no. You got to get it out to, you know, some outside editors.
And to a professional. I mean, unless your wife is an editor, they might be able to read it to say, gee, I didn't like what happened here. But unless they are a seasoned editor and do that for a living, they're not going to know or catch what needs
to
be done.
No, and there's, like we were talking about earlier, continuity. The guy's 45 in the first chapter, and it's a 38 in the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
These guys will catch it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's readers out there that just look for stuff like that. I had a buddy that wrote a really great book, and in one scene, a guy jumps in an old World War II Army Jeep and turns the key. Guess what? There weren't keys.
Oh, my.
He got about 100 emails from old veterans.
Oh.
So you got to know what you're doing and make sure you got your stuff right. Do your research. What is that old saying? Woe be to the author that doesn't do his research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at that point, you just want to throw the book out, huh?
Yeah, oh man, it's just,
so
you got to be careful.
You got it. All right, you've given us some excellent, excellent advice.
Thanks.
So what's next for Randall Renaud? What's coming up?
Well, I'm going to finish the screenplay. I'm in the sixth rewrite. Holy cow. I don't know if you've ever looked at a screenplay. The format is just totally different. I mean, there's tabs all over the place, capitalization of sounds and characters. And depending on when they come into the scene, there's scene description, there's direction, parenthetical direction. It's been a learning process for me, but I'm just about ready to send it to my editor. And once that goes out, then I'm going to get back into the Paloma Crossing, which is the sequel to South of Good. Because, as I said, my readers don't have a lot of patience, and it's been a couple of years now. And they're giving me a hard time about where's the Heart and Steel sequel. So that's the next book. And then from there, I'll just kind of see how it goes. I may do another Trace Brandon or another Heart and Steel, but I have a totally standalone thriller in mind that actually my wife suggested the idea to me, and I can't tell you too much about it, but it's very up-to-date, modern-day, you know, with the Iraqi war and the Afghan war and all those things that are going on. And I'm thinking about taking a swing at it. It's going to be a heck of a lot of work and a lot of research, but so who knows? Anyway, it keeps me out of the bars and the honky-tonks, right?
There you go. And I agree with your wife. I'm kind of feeling a switch of gears here for you.
Well, I may just do that.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Oh, you've given us some great advice. Any final advice or any tips or anything else?
Well, you got to look at it. If you're going to write, you got to look at it like a job. You got to set those hours aside every day and do it, even when you don't feel like doing it. And, you know, rewrite and rewrite and rewrite until you think you just can't stand it, and then rewrite it again and then send it to your editor about 3 times.
Excellent. Now, where can folks go then to contact you and, most importantly, to purchase your books?
My name, Randall Renaud, on Amazon. We'll get them in, Amazon.com. Or my website, Renaud.com, and there's a Facebook link on there, and if you get on the webpage, you'll be home free.
All right, excellent. So the website is RandallRenaud.com. Randall, RANDALL, and there's a dash.
Yeah.
And this last name is spelled RENEAU.com. RandallRenaud.com. This has been a pleasure. I knew I was going to so enjoy talking with you today.
Thanks, Pat.
Did not disappoint.
Okay.
Thank you, and we look forward to finding out about the screenplay, so keep us posted on that.
You'll be one of the first contacts.
Yay, I'm excited about that. Thank you, Randall.
Ma'am, thanks, Pat.